General succession work for me there. No, I want a senior officer's position. One echelon below you will do nicely. A cushy position with excellent prospects for when we make landfall. I'll carve up a little fiefdom for myself on Journey's End, I think. I think you're reaching, Norquinco. Reaching? Yes, of course I'm reaching. Otherwise blackmail wouldn't have to come into it. The orange glow down the corridor had grown closer, accompanied by a faint rumbling. Getting you onto the audit team was one thing, Norquinco. You at least had the right background. But there's no way I can get you into any officer's position, no matter how many strings I pull. That's not my problem. You're always telling me how clever you are, Sky. Now all you have to do is use some of that cleverness, use your skill and judgment to find a way to get me into an officer's uniform. Some things just aren't possible. Not for you, Sky. Not for you. Or are you going to disappoint me? If I can't find a way, then everyone else will find out about your little plan for the sleepers, not to mention what happened with Ramirez, or Balcazar, for that matter, and I haven't even mentioned the grub. You'll be implicated, too. I'll say I was only following orders. It was only recently that I realized what you had in mind. You knew all along. But no one will know that, will they? I was about to answer, but the noise of the approaching freight transport would have forced me to raise my voice. The string of pods was rumbling towards us along its rail, returning from the engine section. Wordlessly, the two of us walked backward until we had reached one of the recesses, which allowed us to stand aside as the train slid by. The trains, like much else on the Santiago, were old and not particularly well cared for. They functioned, but much non-essential equipment had been removed from them for use elsewhere, or not fixed when it malfunctioned. We stood silently shoulder to shoulder as the train neared us, filling the corridor completely, except for a narrow gap either side of its blunt body. I wondered what was going through Norquinco's mind at that exact moment. Did he seriously imagine that I would take his blackmail proposals seriously? When the rumbling string of pods was only 3 or 4 meters away, I pushed Norquinco forward, so that he went sprawling onto the rail. I saw the man's body get pushed violently forward until I could no longer see it. The train continued for a few moments, and then slowed down, but not with any great urgency. By rights, the transport should have stopped the instant it detected an obstacle in its path, but that was undoubtedly one of the functions which had stopped working years ago. There was a hum of laboring motors and the smell of ozone. I squeezed out of the recess. It was difficult, and would have been impossible had the train been in motion. But there was just enough room for me to push past the string of pods until I reached the front. I hoped that my actions would not dislodge something and allow the train to continue, or I would certainly be crushed. I reached the front, expecting to see Norquinco's mangled remains squashed between the train and its rail. But Norquinco was lying beside the rail. His toolkit lay crumpled under the front of the train. I knelt down to examine the man. He had received a glancing impact to the head which had broken the skin, blood pouring out copiously, but the skull did not seem to be fractured. He was still breathing, though unconscious. I had an idea. Norquinco was now inconvenient to me, and would have to die at some point, probably sooner rather than later. But what I had just thought of was too tempting, too poetic, to ignore. It would be dangerous, however, and I would need not to be disturbed for some time. At least 30 minutes, I judged. By then the lateness of the shipment would be all too obvious, but would anyone do anything about it immediately? I doubted it. From what I had gathered, the trains were no longer very reliable at the best of times.